Well, like I said, you can probably tell Christmas is right around the corner. And it's been going in the malls and in other places for a couple months now, but here we are and we're preparing ourselves for Christmas. And I love this time of year. It is one of my favorite times of year because of all the Christmas lights that are everywhere, all the Christmas music that's playing in all the stores, and there's this sense of anticipation and excitement everywhere. And it's funny, in the church, we call this season Advent, which is a season of anticipation and expectation. And it's almost as if God uses the trappings of Christmas, all the different things and lights and all sorts of things to in some way get us excited and prepare us for what he wants, what he has in store for us in this season. You know, in my family, we have a lot of different traditions that we do. And maybe you have traditions that you do during Christmas, things that we really look forward to every single year. In fact, one of the things that we look forward to is going and getting our Christmas tree, especially now that I have two kids and Peyton is 2.5 years old. He loves trees. He loves anything that might be thrown in our house. So we actually have not done that yet. So we have more to do this Christmas. We got to go do that tomorrow. But we love doing that. We also love watching Christmas movies almost every night on ABC Family, and so you may do the same thing. We also like driving through people's neighborhoods, not to spy on them or be creepy in any kind of way. Maybe it looks that way, but we're going to look at their lights. We want to see the tacky lights. We want to see the good, classy lights as well, and so we're kind of like rating them as we go. That's one of our traditions. Another thing we love doing is we pull out the nativity set. And, you know, with all the different figurines, we pull out our little nativity set and we let Peyton, and we'll let our baby Kelsey, when she's old enough, play with the little figurines. And it's interesting because he always wants to put Jesus like on top of the manger. And I keep telling him that's bad parenting. You don't put a baby at a high place like the Lion King, you know, above a manger. But he just wants to interact with the story. And I kind of like that because it's helping him to learn God's with us. But also love one of our favorite traditions, probably one of your favorite traditions as well, is on Christmas morning, getting to share Christmas presents with one another. In fact, when I was little, we used to line up from youngest to oldest, and we would walk down the stairs, and every single year, my dad would have to wait till we had to get the camera out to camcord us walking down each year, and of course, as we get 1 year older and everything, and now we have that same tradition in our family. We, of course, carry our kids down the stairs, and we show them what we brought them and what's going on Christmas. But here's the thing. In order to experience all those traditions, you know and I know that there's a lot that has to be done in order to get ready for Christmas. And it's interesting because in my family, it started a few weeks ago. We started with the tradition that we always have of trying to get the perfect Christmas family photo. Dear God, help. It's one of those things where some people love that. Some people like the, you know, getting in front of the camera and having everybody smile. I don't like that at all. Because it takes a Christmas miracle to get everybody looking at the camera at the right time, nobody crying, and everybody trying to smile the best they can in this picture. The expectations are high, and they seem to never hit the expectation. That's one of the things that's a little crazy in our house. Another thing that you know and I know is the Christmas lists. There's also the Christmas presents that have to be purchased. And it's interesting because, in fact, how many of you, just a show of hands, how many of you have already finished your Christmas shopping for the year? Just raise your hand if you've already finished. Overachievers in here. Now, just by asking that question, another show of hands, how many of you got even more stressed out, freaked out when you looked around and you realized how much you still have to do? How many of y'all are still in that category? All right, a few of you. Most of you aren't worried. You're not going shopping, I don't guess. But it's the most wonderful time of the year, as the song says. And it is. But Christmas also has another side. It's another side. And in fact, we also know this is the season where we tend to feel even more stressed out, even busier. For many of us, it's a season where we feel lonelier. For some of us, we're spending Christmas without somebody in our lives that we have had in years past, and we feel even more lonely. For sometimes in this season, it seems to get more complicated, more and more complicated in our different families and all the situations that we have to do. And so we rush and we rush and we rush to get all the things done on Christmas. And before we know it, we look at the calendar and Christmas is over, and it seems like we missed it. And I don't want us to do that this year. And so instead of just blowing through Christmas, what if our goal was not to just make it through another Christmas? What if our goal this year was to make the most of Jesus this Christmas? That's what we're going to be doing in this series. The goal of the series is to help to make the most of Jesus this Christmas, and to do it by making things more simple. Because I believe that what God, the peace and the love and the joy and the hope of this season can be rediscovered as we pull away the wrapping paper off of Christmas and we go back to the nativity scene and we see what God did and the promises that God has for our lives through that. You know, the first Christmas was very different from the busy, complicated season that many of us face today. In fact, things were really complicated in people's lives. Everything wasn't perfect in people's lives when Jesus came. People had real struggles and real disappointments, real hopes and real fears, but God chose to intersect their complicated lives in the most simple way, by sending a baby. He didn't send Jesus as a conquering king at that moment who had a crown on his head and said, "Here I am, I'm come to save everybody." He came and he sent a baby. Interesting. And it was one of those things where the Christmas story, when God sent Jesus into the world, there wasn't this grand production. There was no pretense. It was just this bewildered couple who was in a stable, who was welcoming the Savior who would come to change our complicated world. And so today what we're going to be doing is we're going to start by looking at the story of Mary. You may remember Mary, if you even in your nativity scenes, if you have those at home. We're going to look at Mary, the mother of Jesus. And when the moment when God called her to something greater in her life than she'd ever experienced before. And the reason we're going through this, as we read these words, what I want you to do is I want you to look at the scripture and what it says, but I also want you to look at it also like a mirror, letting it reflect back into your life. And maybe you'll see some elements of your story in Mary, because here's the thing I know, that just like Mary, God wants to do something greater in your life and something greater through your life than maybe even you envision. And that was the story of what happened with Mary. So if you have your Bibles, open to the New Testament, Luke chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verse 26 through 33 to get started. And the words will also be on the screen, and so you can follow along there. But here's how this Christmas story begins from Mary's standpoint. It says this, verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Who's Elizabeth? Elizabeth is John the Baptist's mother, and this was John the Baptist is, of course, before Jesus starts his public ministry, the one who prepares the way for Jesus to begin his ministry. And, of course, these births are linked together. One prepares the way for the Lord, and one is the Lord himself. And so it says, verse 26, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Talk about an incredible promise for Mary. Now, all of a sudden, this angel shows up out of nowhere in her life and tells her something incredible before he calls her to something bigger than what she can handle on her own. He says this. He says these two things. You're highly favored, and God is with you. And that's the incredible truth in our life. When God is about to call you to something greater than what you can handle on your own, or lead you into a greater life than where you currently are, God always wants to remind you that I'm with you, I'm ahead of you, I'm behind you, and you found favor because of my love. So here's how it continues here. Verse 29. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Hello, it's an angel talking to her. I'd be freaked out. Verse 30, but the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." You hear that again. You have favor with God before he calls her to something. "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus." Verse 32, "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High God. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." So we can just stop right there. This is an incredible, the angel reminds Mary of the presence of God that's with her. And then he tells her, "You're about to give birth to the Son of God, the one that everyone has been waiting for." And it's one of those things where if you think your Christmas plans sound crazy, if you think that all the things that are going on in your Christmas, stuff is crazy, imagine how Mary felt at this moment when she got this Christmas invitation. She was probably freaked out. In fact, Mary was just, we know that Mary was actually a teenage girl, a young teenage girl. most people believe that she was between the ages of 14 and 16 years old. And she was about to get, she was engaged to be married. Now, she didn't run off, you know, from her daddy and, you know, get and married off or anything. This is kind of the way their culture was. They'd get married younger. And so she's planning her wedding. She's engaged. She's entering into one of the greatest seasons for her life, getting ready to be married to Joseph. And for any of you who have planned a wedding, you know, it's a crazy time. It's a busy time, but it's exciting. The cake testing and the wedding planning, all the sorts of things that, you have to do. And as she's preparing in this season, she was probably dreaming of all of their next steps that they were going to take together as husband and wife, what their next year would be like, what it would be like to raise kids together, all these things. And in the middle of all her plans, God comes out of nowhere in her life. God was with her the whole time, but God shows up out of nowhere, and God offered to do something in her life than even the greater things she envisioned for this next, for her next season. Isn't that interesting how God works? And I want you to think about just how Mary felt. Just put yourself in Mary's shoes for a minute, because for years and for years and for years, all the people of Israel had been waiting and hoping for this Savior who would come from the line of David, this Savior that God had promised. And it's one of those things where they knew the Savior was coming. They knew someday he was coming. He was coming through the line of David. And here he is, of course. Jesus is in that vein. But also, they knew that this Savior, with all the chaos in their life, that he would lead people to have a peace in their life that they never had. And they longed for it. They waited for it. They prayed and hoped that that day would come. And so here Mary is in the middle of her wedding plans, all the stuff that she's trying to do, dreaming of her future, what it's going to be like, and God comes to her and announces through the angel, now's the time. Now's the time, and you're the plan. I'd be pretty freaked out. She was probably terrified. In fact, think about, first of all, the angel showed up to her like we talked about. An angel, I think it's funny when you read this, the angel Gabriel came to Mary. That's not the way it would have been for Mary. It would have been like, oh my goodness, there's an angel talking to me. And it would have been really, really clear, God is speaking to me. I've never had God speak to me through an angel. I don't know how God speaks to you, probably in a lot of different ways. But that's something that would make me kind of terrified and make me perk my eyes and ears up and realize, all right, there's something, God, you want to say to me. But the second reason I think she was terrified was because the angel told her that out of all the people that God could choose, that God had hand-selected her to bring about this Savior into the world. Talk about overwhelmed. In fact, you know, this was the Savior who was going to bring hope to the hopeless and peace to the restless and bring salvation to the world. And you can imagine all the things that was running through Mary's head. In fact, when God calls you to something greater than what you can handle on your own, what normally happens when you first hear of it? Usually we come and we bring God the list of all of our reservations. God, I can't because. God, I can't because. And so this is probably what's going through Mary's head. She's probably thinking, God, how can you use somebody like me? Maybe you said that before. Maybe she looked at God and said, God, I'm too young. I'm just a teenage girl. I mean, I'm not even married yet. What will people think of me? Or she probably thought things like, but God, I'm too poor. And I thought you came to came only for the privileged. Interesting how God came to somebody like her. And she probably thought things like, God, I'm not gifted enough, or I'm not good enough. We don't know all of her story, but she probably had all these things. God, can you just call me to something less than this? Or God, I'm in the middle of my wedding planning. This is not a convenient time for me. Can you call me at a different time in my life? I've been there before. Maybe you have as well. God, I don't know if this is the right time. And God said, now's the time, and you're the plan. You know, if you've ever felt inadequate as a parent before, I know when Mandy and I had our first child, we didn't know what to expect. And I know a lot of people have had kids here at the fountain. I keep hearing there's something in the water here at the fountain. Mandy said that's not the truth. There's something. Anyway, we won't get into that. But anyway, but it's one of those things. If you've ever felt inadequate as a parent, you know, think about how Mary felt here. I mean, there's not an owner's manual when you get to take those babies home from the hospital. And here, God is telling her through the angel, you're going to give birth to the Son of God? I'd be freaked out that I would mess that up. How do you raise the Son of God? And what, I mean, what's the implications if you mess it up for everybody? And so it's one of those things where all the different things that Mary, think about all the things she might have been giving up if she said yes. Think about all the things that she had to risk by saying yes. What's Joseph going to think about all this? Is he going to believe all this, God? God, can I trust you with all these crazy details and you to work all this out? If I say yes, I might be losing all that. See, when God calls you to something greater in your life, or wants to use you in a greater way in your life, it's tempting to not take that step. It's tempting to just let that pass by and wait on God to call somebody else. It's tempting to settle and to play it safe for where your life was going before instead of trusting God with your next step. And so it's the same thing with Mary. You know, last weekend, Mandy and I got to go to the North Georgia Mountains. We went to this beautiful place called Sky Valley. It's on the border of North Carolina and Georgia. Beautiful place just outside of. And we were in this, it's a really teeny tiny community way up in the mountains. And we got to for a couple nights. And as we're there, we checked into the place and we found out at the receptionist's desk that there was actually a waterfall that supposedly the receptionist says is awesome and you need to go check it out, and it's right on the street where you're staying. So, of course, the first thing we did, we put our bags into our condo, and we didn't want to miss awesome in our lives. And so we took our brand new baby and our son, Peyton, who's two, down to the waterfall. And you could actually drive down there. So we drove less than a mile down the road. And sure enough, just as they said, we opened the door and 10 paces, you're at the waterfall, at the very base of the waterfall. And we saw this waterfall. It was awesome. In fact, here's a picture of what we saw. This is actually one of our pictures. And it was incredible. The water was falling down from about 90 to 100 feet. And it was just really, really pretty and all that stuff. And we learned that this was a toddler's dream for Peyton. It was one of those things where he saw this thing and he loves bath time and water. So this was like, you know, the Super Bowl of water adventures. And so he's looking at this thing and saying, wow, like 50 times. And he got to pick up rocks and throw them into the creek. And we don't usually let him do that. We usually have to tell him don't throw things, but he loved it. And we were there for 30 to 40 minutes, him getting to do just something he absolutely loved. And then it came time for us to leave. And imagine what that was like. We said, hey, buddy, it's time for us to go. It's time for us to take off. And of course, you can imagine his response. He told us what every toddler says, no. No, I don't know how they learn these things, but he told us no. And I said, no, buddy, like we need to go somewhere. We need to leave here. And we want to take you to this waterfall that's down the road that's even better than this one, but we've got to leave where we are, and you've got to trust us to go where we want to take you. And he didn't want to go, and so we finally picked him up, and he's kicking his feet, and we got him in the car, and we say, you've got to just trust us, buddy. There's something better coming. You know, when God wants to do something greater in your life, or he wants to use you in a greater way, on the surface, it seems safer to stay. It seems safer to say no, because you don't know all the things that's coming ahead of you. In fact, it seems more comfortable there. You know all the details of where you are, and you don't have to trust God with where you're going if you just stay where you are. And it's one of those things where you know that that sometimes when you risk things, your risks end up being disappointments. And so for Mary and for us in our lives, when God's calling us somewhere, sometimes we're afraid to take a step, because if we take that risk and God says, I've got something better for you, and we take that step, what if that risk ends up in disappointment? What if God happens to be leading us somewhere that's not as good as where we were in our lives, in our spiritual lives, and even physically, wherever we are? And so it's one of those things where we have to trust God. And so I want you to check out how Mary responds. Verse 34, here's what she says. With all these different crazy things going on, the thing that God has called her to, she says this: how will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. In other words, I don't see this happening, God. I'm in the middle of wedding planning, all these things. How is all this going to happen? And then the angel answered, verse 35, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. And so Mary sees this promise, and you can hear the reservations and the fears in her voice. She's probably thinking, how in the world can I do this? How is this going to happen? God, can I really trust you that where you're going to call me, that you're going to actually be faithful in that next season? And the reality is, if it all depended on her, she knew it was out of her ability. She knew it was. In fact, I've always said that you know that God is up to something, that you want to be part of something that that's so big that you'll fall flat on your face without God's help. That's where we meet Jesus in the middle of that. See, if it all depended on her, she couldn't do it. But the angel reminded her in the middle of that, that Mary, look, it's not dependent on your strength. It's not dependent on your ability. In fact, what I'm calling you to is not diminished by your fears or your inadequacies. The angel said to her in verse 35, the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Now, I'm thankful for moments in my life when God has done that for me. When I come to God with my weaknesses or the things that God's calling me to, and I feel so inadequate, I feel so incapable, I feel so, and maybe you've been there before, and the power of the Most High God overshadows you, and your weaknesses, when you hold them up to Him, become a strength that God uses to show His strength to other people and the way He uses you. God's up to something in your life if we're willing to take a step and to be used by God in that kind of way. And so when, you know, in the same way, God may be calling you to something greater in your life or greater for you to, in something greater in your walk with Him. And God may be wanting to use you in a greater way, but you may feel reluctant. Like maybe I don't have the faith to do what you're calling me to do. And I want you to realize that if God has called you to it, if God has called you to it, He'll give you the strength to do it. If God has called you to it, He's going to give you the strength and the faith to do it. See, it's not dependent on your strength or your abilities. It's dependent on His. You know, one of the things that I love about God is that God has more invested in your life, in the story of your life. And God has more invested in your ministry than you do. That's right, in your ministry. It's kind of crazy to think about that, but every single person, we talk about that here a lot at the Fountain, every single person has a sphere of influence that God wants to use. And God has more invested in the people of your life than you do. He loves the people of your life and cares about them even more than you do. And God wants to use you, no matter where you are, to be used by Him, to lead people to a greater life. But in order to do that, just like Mary, we're going to see in a minute, we've got to be open vessels ready for God to use us. We got to be open and attentive to what God wants to do in and through us. And so maybe this Christmas, maybe the great thing that God wants to do in you, maybe would start by a simple prayer. Maybe in the season you could start praying something like this. God, fill me up and then use me. God, fill me up and use me like never before. And then trust Him to take your next step. You know, as we are driving about 30 minutes, we drove from the Sky Valley area in Georgia across the North Carolina line this past weekend. And we went to this place just north of Highlands, to this place called Dry Falls. And as we arrived there, you could just smell the water. You've been places like that before. You just smell the water. And we got out of the car and we heard it. And we realized there's something big we're about to see. And as we got out of the car, it was funny that as we were driving there, my son Peyton actually fell asleep along the way. I think that's kind of symbolic of our lives, because sometimes we aren't always as excited as God is about where He's wanting to take us. And sometimes we fall asleep along the way, but we didn't want Him to miss it. We wanted to wake Him up because we love Him too much for Him to miss where we wanted to lead Him. And so we woke Him up and He reluctantly got up and we took Him out of the car, and we hiked with our little family down to this waterfall. And we could smell it and hear it, and it was awesome. And when Peyton saw it, he was fascinated. In fact, here's a picture of the waterfall. Amazing. Now, this doesn't even do it justice. Humongous waterfall. So powerful. And the whole time, he kept saying, wow! And the wow started changing, too. And there's another picture here where we started saying, woohoo! You know, and he was so excited that he got to experience this. It was so fun. In fact, we actually got to walk this is actually behind the waterfall. We actually got to walk underneath the waterfall, something that we didn't even get to do in the other one. And we remember we were telling him, buddy, you've got to leave where you love. You got to leave where you are in order to go to a better place that we're preparing, a place that we want to take you to. And it's one of those things. It's one of those things where God does the same thing in our life. God does the same thing with our life. See, Peyton would have never experienced any of this. The best we wanted to take him to and to offer him, if he didn't trust us enough to come with us, to leave where he was before, and to take that next step to where we knew was best. So check out how Mary's story ends, how she responds to all this craziness. It says this, verse 38, says, "I am the Lord's servant." Think about all the things that she had to go through in her mind and the faith that she had to put in Christ, that God, his presence was with her. She says, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Talk about an incredible response. "I'm the Lord's servant." And I think that's the spirit that God wants us to have this Christmas. God, here I am. Take me where you want to lead me. Show me what you want to show me and use me how you want to use me in my life. Because for Mary, after 9 months of this promise coming to her, 9 months later, she got to see God in the flesh, her Savior face to face. She was the first on the scene. And it's one of those things where Mary stood on the doorstep of the greatest thing God wanted to do in her life and through her life. But in order to experience it, she had to trust God and take that simple step of obedience and say, "Yes, I'm in." And so it makes me wonder in Mary's life, what would have happened if she never took that step? What would she have been giving up if she wasn't willing to take that simple step of faith? I mean, what if she listened to her fears and played it safe and decided that when God called her to something greater, that she would just ask God, just send somebody else? I think we do that sometimes. When God calls us to something greater or wants to lead us somewhere, God calls somebody else. Or she would have missed the greatest thing that God wanted to do in her life. But also, what about those people all over the world who might have missed the Savior if she didn't respond to God in that way? See, in your life, you never know what's at stake. You never know what's at stake for you or for other people when God calls you to take your next step with him. You never know what's at stake in your life and in your faith, and you never know what's at stake in the lives of other people if you're willing to take a step. See, God may be calling you to take a step this Christmas. Maybe for some of us to take another step in our faith, to maybe get closer to him, to spend more time with him. Maybe that's your next step. Maybe for some of you, God may be calling you to be part of a certain ministry area. Or maybe there's something out in the community that just is, your heart is burning for. And that may very well be that nudge of something that the Holy Spirit is wanting you to be a part of, that invitation from God. Or maybe God is wanting you to trust him more fully in your family, to trust him more fully in your finances, to trust him more fully in your fears, and maybe even with your faith. See, it's hard to know what we might miss. It's hard to know what we might miss or how others' lives might be altered when we choose to not take a simple act, a simple step of faith toward what God's calling us to be part of. You know, it's this Christmas, here's the thing, I don't want us to miss that. I don't want us to miss the best that God has to offer us at Christmas and what he wants to do in and through you. I want to challenge you this Christmas to be open to what God wants to say to you and what God wants to do in and through you. And then trust God enough to take your next step with him. In other words, do what only you can do. That's take your step and trust him, and then trust God to do what only he can do. Let me pray for us. God, we thank you that this journey of faith is active because, God, you are living and active in our lives. And God, we thank you that we don't reach the end or the goal and just arrive in our faith, that you always want to lead us somewhere better. You always want to lead us to new life change and to be a part of life change in other people. God, I thank you that you call us to things that are so much greater than what we can handle on our own. God, I thank you that for so many of us who have been sitting with concrete around our feet, unwilling to take a step in our walk with you, I thank you that you have grace for us, that you continue to give us another shot, another chance to take our step with you. And God, today I just pray that for all of us, that wherever you may be leading us, maybe in a ministry opportunity, God, maybe even in our walk with you, God, I pray that you would give us the faith to trust you, the faith to take our step and to trust you to do what only you can do.